Hello and welcome to Evolve Pipedrive Podcast, where we talk all things Pipedrive, sales, apps and the Pipedrive Marketplace. My name is Bruce Bignall, I'm the sales director here at Evolve, and today it's my great pleasure to be joined by Sandeep John, the director of demand generation at Outplay, a sales engagement platform that allows you to personalize your outreach at scale and integrates natively with Pipedrive. Now, I'm super excited to be talking with Sandeep today for a couple of reasons. One, because Sandeep is one of those individuals who's worked on both sides of the tracks, as a sales manager and a sales leader, up to where he is now as a marketing leader. He's actually a member of an invite-only community of world-leading marketeers, Peak. And Outplay, like I said, is already on the Pipedrive Marketplace for you to try out today. We'll have links in the description below. So, Sandeep, welcome. Please can you introduce yourself and Outplay to our audience?
Awesome. Thank you. Hey, thanks, Bruce, and thanks to folks at Evolve for inviting us over to talk here. Marco as well, big thanks to you for getting us over. Quick introduction. So as Bruce mentioned, my name is Sandeep John. I am the director of demand gen at Outplay. For those who don't know who Outplay is, we're essentially a sales engagement platform that helps sales teams and SDR teams increase their pipeline and also providing insights that can help you drive your business better. So as I mentioned before, if in case your team is struggling to hit their quota consistently, you probably know why. Maybe they don't have Outplay. So go and look at a product like Outplay, help us make that solve that for you, right? And of course, come and talk to us and we'll tell you how we can do that for you as well.
Yeah, I love that. And hopefully we'll get some kind of knowledge and some of your experience from this call as well, right? So I'm sure I've said to you before, Sandeep, but a lot of our listeners are already on Pipedrive or they're considering the switch. So if we can have that in mind when we're going through this, obviously from your current role, but also from your sales previous role there, I think whatever you share is going to have a lot of insight for them. So Outplay, so what does a typical Outplay customer look like? Like, where does this sales engagement platform sit in terms of their tech stack, for example?
Yeah, so a typical Outplay customer is somebody who's already got some kind of CRM in place. More often than not, let's say, for example, it's a Pipedrive customer. And if I give you some larger context, Bruce, so you think about CRMs in itself, they weren't really built for sales folks. They were built to capture data, to capture information, to capture customer information. That was the premise of how it was built. Now, what happens with that is, of course, there are certain efficiencies. You need to have a CRM to drive to make sure information is captured and making sure you do the day-to-day tasks. But an Outplay, essentially an engagement platform, whether it's Outplay or any other engagement platform, essentially sits on top of a CRM to make sure that they're talking to each other and making sure that on a day-to-day basis, as a sales individual, whether I'm SDR or account executive, I know what are the tasks I need to do on a day-to-day basis. And essentially, at a larger scale, it helps you automate most of your day-to-day tasks. There obviously, most people think, and people say, hey, I don't want to automate my sales tasks. But then it all really depends on how you want to build what we call sequences, a series of steps that ensures that you're giving the right kind of touches to your prospects, whether it's inbound or outbound. So you can create personalizations there as well. But with something like Outplay, it doesn't just stop with email calling. It's multi-channel. So I can go anywhere from SMS to LinkedIn connects to conversations on LinkedIn, you name it, you can run it on the Outplay platform as well. And I'll talk to you later about a couple of interesting features that most people might not know of, but it's called, I'll drop a hint right now for a later part of the conversation. We have something called the Magic Chat.
I had some friends that said they had that when we used to go out into the clubs. They said they had the Magic Chat as well.
It's a very different.
This might be a slightly different Magic Chat.
Yeah, it's a very different Magic Chat. It's one of those very, I would call, interesting features to have in an outbound, essentially. I wouldn't call it an outbound tool, but any tool that you're using to prospect as an engagement tool, it's a very interesting feature to have. So I'll talk to you a little bit about that as well as we go along. Yeah.
Okay, I've made a note of that. So just coming back on track, in terms of the, do you see this as amplifying sales teams or supporting marketing teams to deliver better? You mentioned sequences there, right? Yeah. So typically sequences were in the realm of marketing. Now, obviously sales tech's having its kind of rise now. Where do you see Outplay playing between those two kind of departments?
Yeah, predominantly sales, whilst we do have a few marketers as well trying to use it. But I think from a marketing, when you're looking at that scale, I wouldn't call this the best fit for marketing because, of course, I run a marketing team, so I would know how we would run large scale. But then if I want to run something that's of a little more niche, a little more smaller group set, then Outplay makes a lot of sense. Because all honesty, we also use marketing tools. But here's the difference, right? For marketing, if you want to make something feel like it's sent from a human being, you might want to use Outplay versus using another marketing platform, which very clearly you know it's coming from one large chunk of whatever, 5,000 odd emails. So that's the gamble for marketing. So we still have marketers who we use Outplay as well on bits and occasions for marketing. But the predominant use case is for sales, is for SDR, whether inbound or outbound. This is a normal use case for us.
So it's that kind of sharp edge of, so you might have had your marketing team running a campaign, and then that kind of sharp edge of that is what your sales team will use, and that's what Outplay can support that. Okay. Are there any, what industries do you see that use this really well or certainly adopting it very well?
I think the typical use case would be any SaaS internet-based company who's got a sales team, whether it's working on-site or remote. So essentially, just give you context, right? The company was started completely remote. So we started at the peak of COVID. So essentially, we're a 100% remote company, and all of our sales teams are managed remotely using Outplay. So we are probably the first users of Outplay before we even sell it to the world, and most of our sales folks are there. So I would say typically in that use case, it can be used for, in fact, I'll give you a sense of the size of company as well that typically uses something like Outplay. Outplay is most beneficial for SMB and mid-market companies as well. If you're looking for a solution to just pick up off the shelf, start running your sales process or helping drive those efficiencies, Outplay is right there for you. You don't need, there's no complicated setup. And like Tamiz will show you in that demo as well, you can see how easy it is. If you've got whatever CRM you have in place, Pipedrive or anything else, you can easily click and set that up almost instantaneously and be there on the get-go, right? From an industry point of view, we're fairly industry agnostic outside of the SaaS companies. I'll give you one very interesting use case, right? Outside of your typical, you would imagine salespeople, SDR people are the ones using all of this. We have a lot of HR customers. So HR recruiters use the platform as well to follow up with candidates that they are chasing or they are pursuing. So this becomes a nice, and we have quite a few HR customers who do that as well. We were surprised because we didn't even build it for an HR use case, but essentially the use case is very similar. You're going after a bunch of candidates, you're trying to close them to make sure that they take up a job offer. So that's a very interesting use case apart from our typical audience of sales.
Yeah, and from a HR, and I guess from HR, you could even have the recruitment industry there as well, right? So I know that some people, they're not necessarily the same, but they can be one and of the same. Okay, no, that's very, very interesting. So from a, you mentioned there about remote first, right? So how do you, what lessons have Outplay taken from being a remote company to what's kind of built this product? Have you seen this as a bit of it's enabled you to create a better product for these remote sales teams of the future now, right? So how is that kind of impacting the kind of roadmap and things like this?
I think literally, absolutely spot on, right? I think the fact that given whatever happened with COVID and what we know of the world of future, we know that the world is going to be some sort of hybrid version. There's going to be folks who sit in the office, some people might work remotely. You need to be able to provide a product that can literally serve both those environments. And I think it all comes down to the data, really. And data never lies, right? You can never get something wrong if you've got the right data in place. With something like Outplay, you will know what is working, what is not working. If the entire team in the company is using Outplay, what sequences or what kind of emails are working generally, you can see those things as well. So I think the level of insight that something like this provides is what will be useful for managers as well. So teams, leaders, managers who are looking at how their teams are performing remotely can just trust the data. Look at the data, see how if individual is performing or struggling or where can they support that individual. It's all right there, right? So I think we're also constantly trying to make sure that we're kind of providing those kind of insights as we build the product into the future as well. But very much, I think it's for us, because we operate a remote team as well. It's keeping that whole remote first approach. The fact that sales folks can work from anywhere. What are the things we need to do to the product to cater to that future audience as well. So we're constantly looking for newer ways to newer features or newer solutions to make sure that it caters to that audience. Because if you do that anyways, your physical office environment folks will already be taken care of. So
yeah, I always like to think of it as, you know, from the individual contributor level, think of it as like culture and tech, right? So from how do you build a culture remotely, which is a whole another podcast or series of podcasts. But then from a tech standpoint, how can you help the individual contributors at home? And then how can you help the management team, you know, have better visibility and or level up the top performers? I always say the top performers look after themselves. They'll always be top performers.
Yeah.
But as a manager, if you can see data and see the trends of what sequences or what's working across the high performance, that then gives you some coaching credits. So then maybe give to the people that are just starting out to help them, right? So then you can level up the whole team. It's not so much just about making the top performers sell even more. It's like how do you raise the level of the whole team? But yeah, I just wanted to say that. So I'm just writing down the magic chat that we must come back to. Okay, maybe we'll touch on that now. So if we've seen the industries, the kind of you know, how this is and who it's serving, certainly from a sales department, what does the future look like? You know, what is on that roadmap? What does, because obviously you're quite new to the company, right? And so we'll touch on that in a moment. But what kind of got you excited, and what can you share today about what's on the plans?
I think Magic Chat is something it's already out there, and we're building something very similar as well. Context of what that is, right? So today we call our product multi-channel, which means that you can reach out to prospects through different means, whether it's through SMS, phone, email, LinkedIn. Traditionally, what Magic Chat is essentially is there's an option for you through the platform, if you want to enable that, you can, where if, for example, I'm prospecting you from Evolve and you're part of my database list, you, Bruce, happens to land up on my website. I can have a chat that pops up on the website and say, hey, Bruce, this is Sandeep here. Is there something I can help you? Right. So we're able to have that level of personal engagement if you eventually. So what I would typically do is I would set up a link on one of my email sequences and get you to click that. The moment you're there, I get a notification saying that Bruce is on the website. I can actually have that chat with you. It's not just some any other customer support or sales chat rep trying to chat with you. That's what Magic Chat can really try to help bring that personalized experience. Although it might look a little creepy, but the fact is that in real terms, it's nice to have that touch.
So what isn't? I was going to touch upon the creepy bit there, because is all of this, right? So all of this sales tech and marketing tech has become intrusive. However, I don't know if it's going to slow down, because it makes it more, if you are in that buying mode, it makes if your intention landing on that website is to purchase, that's magical. Like, so yes, we all say it's creepy when we see the advert for the TV, and, you know, we've just bought the TV, so stop giving me the advert for the telly. But as the web searches around you, but when everything aligns, it is magic. Like it really does work. That's very cool. So in terms of the multi-channel, can you just go through the channels that Outplay, you know, that you can serve on the?
Yeah. Email, phone, SMS, and LinkedIn, and of course you can use something like Magic Chat as well. Essentially, that's an option for people. Some people use it. Depends. I think, like you said, it really depends on whether the person is actually landing back on the website or coming back to reading that email and landing there. That's when the experience becomes a lot better. If at random, if you just land on the website, nothing's going to happen. There's no way of it tracking. But if you go through that particular link, then yes, there is a way to get you in. But essentially, these five, if I remember right.
No, it's very cool. So in terms of Outplay and Pipedrive, we've kind of touched upon how they integrate, but yeah, can you just kind of describe how the integration works, and, you know, what you're able to do with that there?
Yeah, I think one big thing that we tried to solve for when we started building the integration as well is we know the fact that sales folks don't like updating multiple. First of all, don't like updating stuff. Number one. Two, don't like updating stuff on multiple platforms, right? So one of the first things we made sure that happens is that there is almost a bi-directional integration. So you just need to update one platform, whether it's Outplay or Pipedrive, and you're done. And more often than not, so typically use case for this, Bruce, would be at the time of prospecting, right up to the fact, to the point where you hit a deal or create, in our world, we call it QSO. Some people might call it sales qualified lead, however you want, but the opportunity is qualified. Till then, all the conversation can happen at Outplay. The moment that happens, then one can switch to Pipedrive, because there now we are almost in the closing mode. We want to make sure that what a company wants to becomes a customer or whatnot. So literally the journey can start from here to then. So there's no requirement of, hey, I need to go update this on Outplay, go update this on Pipedrive. One platform is more than enough. And I think that's one of the bigger things. The other thing I think for the larger Pipedrive audience as well, is that we're one of the top rated platforms on the Pipedrive marketplace. And folks can go and have a look at us there as well. So we do a lot of stuff, and we in fact get a lot of Pipedrive customers who come in and use Outplay as well, because they see the need for something like this essentially. So I think it's been great. Several of our customers have a lot of the use cases. In fact, we have our Pipedrive Outplay.
Yeah, that's kind of how we got in touch, right? But the it's kind of supercharging prospecting, isn't it? It's kind of and then once it lands in Pipedrive. Pipedrive does what it does best. It's a visual pipeline by stage with activities, in that kind of latter stage. There's a couple of kind of schools of thought of, should you have all your data in the CRM and then put it through your prospecting tool, or don't clog up your CRM? And so there's a couple of ways to think about that. And obviously there's always dependencies, whether it's the volume that you're going through there. That's great. And we'll be sure to have links to Miz's demo of that, because I think he has a really good introduction of how you can create a custom field in Pipedrive and instantly have that searchable in Outplay and kind of have them linked to each other. So that's really, really cool. As we kind of, we've gone through the platform, we've kind of introduced how the two systems work together. What's your journey, right? So I said that you joined Outplay, was it, I guess, January this year? Later off that. So what brought you to the company, and what's been the journey so far to become the director of demand gen there?
So my journey, or how do I put this? So I joined, prior to Outplay, I used to work in a company called Freshworks. Was there for a considerably long period of time. And one of my first roles in Freshworks was to set up the SDR team. So we had our own CRM, and we were using our CRM and whatnot. At that point in time, there was always a need to have a product such as this, such as an Outplay kind of product. At that point in time to build. So I think personally also I've had the, of course, Outplay didn't exist back then. So I had to go with one of my current competitors, of course, back in the day, had to choose one of them. But the need for a sales engagement platform was always there. So I think my association with this universe of sales engagement platforms started even like 5 years ago, whilst I was taking care of SDR. And I saw the benefit of having something like this to drive efficiency within the SDR team. So we were a predominantly outbound SDR team. And in order to sort of, on a day-to-day basis, when my rep comes in, he or she knows what they need to do on a day-to-day, how many calls, how many emails and whatnot. It's all there. It's all set up. There's no ambiguity towards what I need to do and all of that. It's right there, right? And I think that drove efficiencies for all of us. And I think my association started right there. Of course, I grew within Freshworks. And I think my move from sales to marketing actually happened in my Freshworks journey, because we were trying to build out the mid-market marketing function. I had an opportunity to move from SDR, that side. I jumped in. And once I got in, I just didn't feel like going back. So I was just...
Do you think that you had that because... you're quite a detailed-orientated person, right? So do you think that you always would have been led to marketing? Or do you think the opportunity... I don't know, yeah. So what am I trying to say here? But as a detailed-orientated person, was there ever... could you scale in a sales role, or was marketing always the kind of the final goal for you there? What do you think?
Good you mentioned that, because in reality, I feel I was always meant for sales more than marketing when I started off. But by nature, I'm generally a little more creative person. I've got a lot of other pursuits that I do outside of work, which is very creative in nature. I felt at some point in sales, it was not entirely aligning with it. Of course, you can, I'm not saying you can't be creative in sales. You can try and be as creative as you possibly can. But I felt like in the SaaS world and in the company that I was in that time, Freshworks, we're very much a product company, product marketing. I felt like if there was any place I can pick up marketing or figure out the best in marketing, it was right there. And somehow I felt like there was this draw towards marketing, because it with marketing, literally, Bruce, there are things that change almost every single day. Like you said, there's so much of tech available in the market. There's so much of new insights you can pick up from multiple places. It was always challenging to stay ahead of the game. And I think for me, that's what drew me. The fact that I could be more creative, the fact that marketing was never constant in what it was. Things have changed like 5 months, literally. And that's the biggest thing for me, right? And once I landed here in Outplay, of course, it's been... So one of the reasons I, of course, landed in Outplay is, it, given my past association with, I knew that we needed folks, there is a value in having a sales engagement platform, number one. I always wanted to go back into the whole startup world. Literally one of the 100, we're only 100 employees right now, small company, 2 years old, but we're trying to kick way above our belt in terms of everything that we're doing. I love that. I love that culture. I love that vibe. I love that the energy that the company gives me, and jumped right in. I was like, hey, let's just do this and see how far we can go.
The energy and the swag, for those that are watching, not listening, he's got some Outplay swag on as well.
if you want, just hit me up on LinkedIn. I'll get something shipped over.
Brilliant. Yeah, you heard it here first. So we'll put your LinkedIn in the description. This is a bit of a quick fire section. So quick fire questions, they can be long form answers. But in terms of highlights of the integration between Pipedrive and Outplay, what do you see as, obviously, you, as someone that knows an SDR's world and as someone that's been an SDR and kind of managed those teams, what do you think the highlight of the integration is?
I think the key is you need to automate most of your sales. Wherever you can automate your sales processes, try. Of course, don't disregard personalization, because you need to make the life of your salesperson or SDR person a lot more intelligent, a lot more smarter. And a platform like this can, especially when you're outreaching, when you're outbounding, it's the best use case, even for inbounding, right? You want to make sure you're having those right number of touch points. Something like Outplay can truly, truly help, right? And with the base of a CRM like Pipedrive, you already have your bases covered. You already have, like you mentioned, the reporting at the end of the whole cycle will look brilliant. But you also need to make sure your prospects, at the end of the day, you're not going to close any number of deals if you don't have the amount of pipeline that you require. Outplay will help you drive that pipeline, right? Use a platform like Outplay. Constantly keep building your pipeline, and that's the secret to anything that you're doing in sales, right? So I believe that you have something like an Outplay there. As I mentioned earlier on, the bi-native integration is already there, so it's a hassle-free process. And if you see through the demo that Tami shows you as well, it's literally a click of a switch, and that's it. You're integrated. You're done, right? That's how easy it is to get set up. So there's no complicated setup process. And it's a fairly easy to use product. And of course, you can obviously go all sign up today as well. They've got a 14-day trial. Have a look at it. If you like it, of course, go for it. If you don't like it, that's perfectly fine. But go and play around, because as I keep mentioning, it's a very intuitive, easy to use product. So there's no complications and no crazy bells and whistles of things that you don't necessarily need in the product. It's simple. It takes your task, because we know that you already have a CRM that takes care of a lot of the other stuff. So yeah.
Yeah, no, that's it's a really good point. So what would you say from a, obviously someone's been on they've had a CRM and they're kind of exploring, so the first time users or the newbies to sales engagement platforms, what top tips or what advice would you give to someone just getting started using a sales engagement platform?
Yeah, I think key is to look at what core problem you're trying to solve today. Normally people will come to sales, and this was my use case when I was taking care of the SDR team like 7 years ago, was the fact that I was not able to drive efficiency within the team. Like I could keep going to them and say, hey, make this number of calls, make this. But was there an intelligent way of doing it? As in anything, you need to make sure you build the right cadences, right? People talk about challenger cadence, and there's a bunch of other cadences out there. Call first, email on the third day, LinkedIn on the fourth day, and all of that. Are you doing it scientifically? Because CRM sometimes don't allow you to do that, or they might allow you, but it's not very easy to set up in that sense, right? It depends on what CRM and what point you're using as well. So if you're using something like this, hey, it can make, you can actually be assured that if you're going after, let's say, 100 accounts, that you're doing the right things to touch those accounts. And you're making sure that you have whatever 5, 6, 7 steps, whatever steps you require, you can be assured of that. So if that is your use case, whether it's inbound or outbound, you need something like an Outplay or an equivalent kind of software, a sales engagement platform that can help you with something like that. So go and figure out what the use case is. And once you get in, know that your accounts are being touched, because you don't want to be spraying and praying. You don't want to be doing some crazy, crazy tactics and blasting everyone all over. You're going to hit spam. You're not going to be useful as well. Even that, bro. So what we try to do in the software as well, we have some restriction in terms of how many emails you can even send on a day-to-day basis per account. Because we don't encourage folks to go and spam the universe. This is not a marketing
tool.
Is that to
protect their own domain and deliverability?
Absolutely.
Right?
And it's also, I mean, end of the day, it's a sales email. It's got to feel like a human being and not some bot sending like a 1,000 email thing going out, right? So I think create that level of personalization. I've personally seen, like, I've run marketing campaigns both on Outlook and a marketing automation tool that we use. Got same messaging, everything is the same. Just the software is different. I've got better response from Outplay because I feel like people think it's a human being. The email, when it lands on your box, you know it's not some machine sending it out, as in a marketing automation machine. So there are significant benefits of using something like that.
Okay. And from, if someone has been using a sales engagement platform for a while, are there, so from a newbie, you said, you know, kind of not just start, but get, get it right. But if you're looking to excel here, what are those kind of top tips, and what do the top performers do when they are using the sales engagement platform?
The best thing about sales engagement platforms is the ability, when you're using it across the organization, is to pick up what's the best email. So for example, whilst we have our own templates that we build out for our sales teams to pick up and use, so we'll create some 5 or 6 different templates, put it out in the public domain within our organization, people can pick up and choose. People are also encouraged to create their own sequences or own email templates as well. Now, anyone can actually go into those general library of templates and figure out which of those templates have given them the best open rates across the company. Open rates, click rates, reply rates, whatever you want. You can literally pick that up and start using. It's right there because there's proof of how it actually is performing across the org. And you can see how that actually works. I think that's one of the big benefits of a sales engagement, the insight that you can get, the data that you can get from something like that, and use that to your advantage. So you're literally learning from somebody within your firm who's probably emailing the same database or the same prospects or personas, and you know what they're getting. So it's all public domain. So you can actually pick it up, start using, and you can go to get going right away. And we do it for new person signing up as well. We have a few handcrafted templates that we already provide to the open market as well. So if somebody's like, hey, nobody in my company knows how to use it, here we got 5 or 6 templates that we, in fact, we built an asset of the 30 sequences of hypergrowth. So 30 companies have actually given us their sequences, including the likes of Chili Piper and a few others. And we put that out in a book, an account book. So if anyone can take that, use that on their sequences as well.
Okay, nice. Yeah, well, if we can get a link, we'll put that in description as well. I mean, from I love the idea of leveling up the business from the intelligence that's being captured from, you know, people in the business, right? So you might be able to mix and match the best subject line with the best body, you know, for the best call to action, and have that come together. A number of Pipedrive employees listen to this, right? So do you have any feature requests that, you know, they might be able to, we might be able to get it on the roadmap?
Nothing at the moment, but I'll have to think through one, but yeah, nothing at the moment as well. But I think eventually things like conversation, I don't think platforms have conversational intelligence today. Perhaps when you're making calls out of Pipedrive, for example, to build the ability to understand that as well. I think that's something to think about. Perhaps.
Like sentiment analysis. So whether it was positive or... Okay.
I think that'll help down in the sales cycle.
I know there's some not in Pipedrive, but you know, sentiment analysis of you know, social channels and things like that. Whether it was an positive or negative, or what the intention was there. I've always thought, and I don't know if it is around yet, but that this isn't for Pipedrive, but any form of dictation. Why can't I hate saying comma, full stop, new line. If I just speak and my natural voice pauses, why can't it just have the commas and full stops, you know, auto grammar? I'm sure Grammarly's working on it, but just a thought.
I'll drop in a hint of a feature right now. I want to explain it. When we launch it. So just like you heard about Magic Chat becoming something, we're building out something called Magic Email. It's not exactly about what you just said. I mean, but it's close. Yeah. It's very close. Nice. Part of that email is going to be automated as well.
And you're teasing me.
I'm teasing you and all the listeners of Pipedrive or Pipedrive customers and anyone else as well. Wait for that feature. It's a very cool feature that we're coming up with as well, but something to do with email and seeing how that can really drive better efficiency as well.
Yeah, love it. Well, Sandy, thank you so much. Is there anything in particular you'd like to touch upon before we leave?
I'm good, thank you. And I think, like Bruce said, if you want to sign up for a product demo, want to understand how Tamiz's session is there, you can go check that out. Or if you'd like to actually get a personal one-on-one demo, go check it out. I'll also drop in a few assets, which I feel, if not for Outplay, just go and have a look. You want to build sequences. We've got this hyper growth thing. We've also got something called Call of Fame, which is basically we've got SDRs and AEs submitting some of their calls. So if you want to go listen, it's a cold call library. You want to know how to get better with calls, go and check out some of these calls as well. So yeah, that's free. You want to just take for it to subscribe.
I'm a big fan of the SDRs in the last 2 years or so, just before COVID, really kind of giving them the props of what they're doing within businesses. That's great. And obviously we'll put your LinkedIn as well to get that Outplay merch.
For sure.
well, that's it for this week. And thank you so much, Sandeep. It's been super, super insightful and thank you for coming along. That's it for the Evolve Pipedrive podcast, where we talk all things Pipedrive, sales, apps, and the Pipedrive marketplace. If you've enjoyed this, please consider liking, subscribing, or sharing with someone that you're going to find this useful. Being said, thanks so much, Sandeep.
Thank you, Bruce, and thank you all the folks at Evolve as well. Thank you. Appreciate it.